get the milk in quick. The cats get out.
Are them blue tits? Beats like pneumatic drills,
he brings me my tea to bed every morning.
You're a lucky woman, Lizzie. Not many men like Willie McCulloch can have a dozen.
Come on, Lizzie, girl. Up you get.
Willie?
Aye, a good man. You'll miss him now he's gone.
Come on now, you'll be late for work.
Willie.
She's an awful bad caller, isn't she? I knew there was something wrong when I saw her milk still sitting on the step.
Drink your tea, it'll get cold.
It's all right now, Lizzie. Your Joe's here. Him and Sharn. What, love?
Come on, love, up you get.
What's she saying, Joe?
Can't make it out, Sharn. Something about a buck.
Come on, come on.
What bucks? Make sure you lock that door, Joe. She'll have money yet.
Come on, love, up you get. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Hey, boy.
What?
Is there any more spuds?
No, there isn't. I declare to God, Dave, feeding you's like feeding the 5,000. What do you think you're doing?
Nothing, nothing.
Nothing? You were stealing the spot of your dad's plate, so you were. Ach, Dave, you've got the gravy all over the hearth now.
Sorry.
So you should be stealing your father's dinner. You're as much on your own plate as would have satisfied two men and a wee lad.
Mummy.
What?
Can I ask you something?
What?
Every Saturday, as long as I can remember, you've been making the dinner at 5 o'clock in the dot.
Aye.
And every Saturday, my dad doesn't come home from the pub till 6 o'clock. And you put his dinner between two plates beside the fire to keep it warm.
Aye.
And by the time he eats it, it's like a burnt offering.
That's his own fault. He knows we have the dinner at 5.
Well, would you never think of having the dinner at 6?
We always have our Saturday dinner at 5.
Why?
Because that's Saturday dinner time, that's why. And anyway, if I started making it at 6 o'clock, Johnny Maguire would soon catch on and start coming home at 7 o'clock. Your dad always comes home late for his dinner on a Saturday, so he does. My dad was just the same.
Sarah!
What are you doing home at this time on a Saturday, Johnny?
Have they closed all the pubs, dad?
Listen, Sarah, I'm on my way from the match to the pub, and who do you think I spy coming in the top of our street?
Who?
Big Agnes Drum, that's who. And she's carrying her black bag. Somebody must be dead, Sarah.
Your old head's away. If there was anybody dead around here, I'd be the first to know about
it. I'm telling you.
And anyway, what would she be doing carrying the black bag? It's 30 years and more since Agnes Drum washed and laid out the dead. The undertakers do all that now. Dave, look out the window and see who that is.
It's a big woman in a black coat. And she's carrying a black bag.
I tell you, Sarah.
Do we all hide, or shall I let her in?
You just sit down and behave yourself. I let Agnes in. Come in and sit yourself down, Agnes.
Much obliged, Sarah. Afternoon, Mr. Maguire. Hope you're keeping well.
Very well, Mrs. Drum. Very, very well. Never felt better in my life. I'll just have my dinner while it's warm, if that's all right with you.
You're not looking yourself, Agnes. Is something wrong?
Our Lizzie's gone.
Oh, Agnes. When?
This morning. She was took bad sudden and rushed into Royal Victoria. She only lasted a couple of hours.
Sorry for your trouble, Mrs. Drum.
Much obliged, Mr. McGuire.
I'm really sorry, Agnes. I'll get the linen out and we'll go over.
Needn't bother, sir. She's not coming home.
What do you mean she's not coming home?
What I say. Our Joe, may God forgive him, is not bringing his mother back to her own house.
He can't leave her lying up in the hospital.
She's lying in Charlie Wilson's funeral parlour. That's where she's lying. All by herself in Charlie Wilson's funeral parlour.
Dave, get Mrs. Drum a glass of whiskey. It's in the left-hand cupboard above the cooker, behind the cough link. Remove yourself.
Okay, okay.
Agnes, Joe would never do the like of that to his own mother.
It's not Joe's doing. Joe does what he's told. It's that Sharon one. I don't know what our Joe ever saw in her. She was always a disturber. She could cause an argument between two breastbones, that one.
You're Lizzie's sister, Mrs. Drum. Could you not stop them?
I'm only her half-sister. Joe's her son. I have no say.
There's your whiskey, Mrs. Drum.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that was grand. Much to bed, son.
Would you like another one?
No, not just at the moment, thanks all the same.
Are you sure you haven't got it wrong, Agnes?
Oh, no. That Sharon came round to tell me. Said Joe was away making the arrangements. Hadn't the nerve to show his face.
Maybe you misunderstood, Agnes. Maybe Charlie Wilson's just coming to the house to lay Lizzie out.
No, I've seen her. As soon as Sharon left, I got my black bag and I went round to Charlie Wilson's personal. I thought maybe I could talk him into letting me wash her and put on her good frock. Which was already done by the time I got there.
It's a queer while since you let anybody out, Mrs. Drum.
Eat your dinner, Janet.
I'm only saying that...
You were always the best, so you were, Agnes.
I know it's not the fashion anymore, like times changed. But I always promised our Lizzie that if God spared me, no stranger would handle her.
Is there no pub in the day, Sarah?
Excuse me, Aunt Agnes. Dave, come you into the kitchen. I want a word with you. Will you stop sitting there grinning all over your face? Mrs. Drum's very upset, so she is, and so am I. Shift yourself and give me down on 10.
Well, it's all daft. What's wrong with funeral parlours anyway?
Nobody from round here was ever buried from a funeral parlour. It's just not done.
You're just put out because you can't get using a death linen.
Listen, you. When anybody round here dies, they're laid out in their own bedroom and I set up the room nice with starched white linen over the mirrors and the furniture and the bed.
It's creepy.
It's an honour. My grandmother, God rest her, was entrusted with it in the first place because she could be relied on to keep it in good order and not pawn it, no matter how hard times were.
I still say it's creepy. And so are dead bodies laying for inspection in open coffins.
It's a mark of respect. You lie for 3 days and all your family and friends come round and see you.
That's weird.
It's tradition.
She's dead. She won't know anything about it.
It's her right. You young ones are all the same. I suppose when I go, it'll be as quick as you can get me out of your road into one of them places. Here. Take them peaches into your da before the hunger kills them.
Am I not good, Nelly?
Now, help yourself. By God, you and your dad'll not die for the want of good food, that's for sure.
Joe, where are you?
I'm in here, Sharon.
What were you doing?
Found this box of photos. I was just looking through them.
Oh, why? You just relax and look at photos while I do all the work. I don't know why I'm bothering anyway, packing up all this old rubbish. We'd be lucky if we get a tenner for it down the market. Still, you never know. Some old ornaments are worth a fortune these days. You see that vase? Is it ruby glass, do you think?
I wouldn't know, Sharon.
Well, is it old? Was it here when you were a child?
Well, it's always sat there. I think it belonged to my father's more.
Don't you touch it. I'll pack that away myself. You get on with the rest of the stuff down here while I'm up the stairs. And don't be breaking nothing.
I haven't told you the worst of it yet, Sarah. They're having her.
I made it.
They're what?
Away to hell.
First thing Monday morning.
You mean they're not even giving poor Lizzie the proper 3 days laying out?
They can't get rid of her quick enough.
That's a bad do, that.
Right, Agnes. Let's go.
There's nothing we can do, Sarah. Joe's our next of kin.
And we're our friends and relations. We're entitled to pay our respects, us and everybody what knew her. And that includes you two.
Include me out.
You be down at Charlie Watson's funeral parlour before the pubs close, or I'll know the reason why.
What was all that about?
Your mother's got the light of battle in her eye. Poor old Lizzie. Imagine. A funeral parlour. And cremation. Doesn't bear thinking about.
Ach, da. You don't agree with all that old nonsense, do you?
Ah, there's a lot to be said for the old ways. Like our granny used to say, no matter how hard your life was, you could always rely on the neighbours to give you a good send-off when you were dead. Man, I could tell you a tale or two about some of the wakes I've been at in my time.
I'm away to the pub.
The very thing. We'll have a few bevvies, you and me, and we'll get a wee carry-out for the funeral parlour.
Mamma'll kill you.
Not at all. Sure, you can't have a wake without a wee drop of the hard stuff.
Good evening, Mr. Watson.
Can I be of any assistance?
About Lizzie McCulloch.
Oh, yes, it's Mrs. Drum, isn't it?
That's correct. And this is Sarah.
Good evening.
Aunt Madge and Madge's daughter, Florence.
Hello. Good evening.
We've come to set up our Lizzie proper.
I beg your pardon.
Granted.
Right, girls, she's in here.
Excuse me, ladies, excuse me,
Well, Sarah, there she is, lying in this place all by herself, and not a one gardener.
Not anymore, Agnes. There's you and me,
and there's me and my Florence. Isn't it awful, Burr? Not as much as a single flower.
Well, there is now, Agnes. I say this much for you and your Florence, Marge. You's make a beautiful wreath of pair of you.
Where'll I put the wreath, Mama?
There's a hook on the wall, above the coffin. We make wreaths here, you know.
I don't see much sign of it.
We usually keep them until the day of the funeral, so that they're fresh, you know.
Fresh for who?
For the funeral, the graveside.
She's being cremated. Her ashes are to be scattered in our gardens of remembrance, whatever that might be.
I assume we'll have full use of the big room.
I'm sorry, I don't quite follow.
The big room that leads into this wee room.
Oh, I see. You're going to have a small service the day of the funeral.
That's to take place at the crematorium. She means for now.
What exactly are you planning?
I'll just drape this white linen over the lectern on the table. Would you like that, Agnes?
That would be very nice, Sarah.
Linen?
Now, normally these would be for covering Lizzie's bedroom suite, but under the circumstances this'll have to do. At least when the people come, they'll see it's being done right and proper.
Are there many more people coming?
Why, do you close at a certain hour, like the pubs?
No, dear me, no. We provide a 24-hour service.
I'm glad to hear it.
Would you like the music?
What music?
We have tape music. You just press the switch beside the coffin.
Now, that might be nice. Lizzie always loved a good tune.
Can I switch it on?
Yes, of course, Miss...
Florence.
It's a bit doleful, isn't it? Do you not have something a bit more cheerful?
It's Handel.
Is that a fact?
Turn that off, Florence. It would make you weep.
Aye, love, turn it off. That would really depress you, so it would.
Well, now,
This wee room doesn't look so bad with the linen set out. Takes the bare look off it, doesn't it?
Aye, but the infrared lights is awful cold.
Would you like me to switch one of them off?
Do you not have a nice wee lamp or nothing?
I'll bring one down later, Mrs. Drum.
Thanks very much, love. I'm much obliged.
Do you have any cups and plates here, Mr. Wilson?
Cups and plates?
No, I didn't think so. Just as well we brought our own. What's in there through that door?
Oh, that's just a small sink and a camping stove. It's where I make myself a cup of tea after dealing with those bereaved during the night.
Now, that'll do rightly. Madge, bring the food in here.
Food?
Now, don't worry, Mr. Wilson. We have everything under control. And if we need anything else tonight, we'll let you know.
Just
by the way, do you have any chairs?
More chairs?
Aye, what's here? Never seat all Lizzie's friends.
Joe! Bring me up a couple of them black sacks. These old clothes are fit for nothing but the rag, man. What's this?
Here's the sack, Sean.
Something rattling in this old box. How do you open it?
Push that wee knob at the side.
Ugh, it's foreign money.
It all come along with my father's stuff after the war.
It's a music box.
He bought it in France. It was to be for her birthday. Only he never got to give it to her. You know, it hasn't played in years. I broke it when I was a wee lad. She nearly killed me. What'd you do that for?
I don't like music boxes. They're creepy. Here. Put it with the ruby glass. You never know. It might be worth a bob or two. Even if it's not, the coins will be worth their face value anyway.
Oh, a wee bit of my father.
What?
A wee bit of my father. It's what you call the French money. It was in his pocket when he got killed, you know.
No, I don't know, and I don't want to know. We're here to clear the house, not reminisce about World War II. Your Aunt Agnes will do enough of that for all of us.
Sorry for your trouble, Mrs. Drum.
Much obliged.
She's awful like herself.
Oh, isn't she now?
Lizzie didn't suffer near nothing, did she, Mrs. Drum?
I wasn't there. Our Joe never thought fit to let me know that my only sister was dying.
That's shocking. Here, Agnes, have a wee sandwich. You haven't had a bite all day.
I don't think I could stomach anything.
Now, Agnes, you ought to Lizzie to keep your strength up.
Oh, go on, Mrs. Drum. There's roast beef and cooked ham. Take two, they're awful small.
Well, all right then. And maybe I'll just have one of them buns while I'm at it. Much obliged, Florence.
I'll just take these round.
Nice wee girl, lad, isn't she?
Ah, indeed. Oh, I wish I'd brought my slippers. These old shoes has cut my feet off me.
Lovely buns, them, Sarah. Very tasty. Our Lizzie always loved a nice fancy one things were getting her down.
Aye. She hadn't an easy life, God help her.
She was only 8 when her mother died, you know.
Aye. And she wasn't more than 10 or 11 when your mother died giving birth to you, Agnes.
Imagine that. Your father was very unfortunate, Mrs. Drum.
My father was a new bugger. Drove 2 good women to an early grave. Lizzie had no childhood worth talking about. What was looking after me and trying to keep my dad sober? I wouldn't mind my tea topping up of you the minute, Sarah. Buns are nice, but they're awful dry in the middle.
The dad died when Lizzie was about 18. Fell down the steps of Rinty's bar and broke his neck. The only good turn he ever done Lizzie in his life.
Imagine that.
Here. Do you mean the night down with a man from up the road asked Lizzie to marry him?
Do I what? It was the best bit of sport in the street since the night of Hughie McCardle's wake, when they propped him up in the coffin with a bottle of stout in his hand so that he could join in the celebrations.
So with a man come running out of Lizzie's house like a scalded cat, and her after him, beating him about the head with a fire tongs.
You skittery ghost, she shouted. Come and live with you. And put our Agnes in a home, away back to the midden you came from.
Oh, man, it was the best night's crack.
Did you hear that? Joe's having her cremated.
Oh, I never did agree with a Laker Ross.
Me neither. I think that's taking ashes to ashes a bit too far myself.
God help Agnes now. Sure, she's nobody. Is Mrs. Drum's husband dead? Not at all. He ran off to England with a moneylender from the top of the road donkey's years ago. Carmen Miranda Robinson, her name was. Her mother was a great picture goer.
And was she married too?
Oh, aye. She was married to the co-op insurance man, Johnny Robinson, his name was.
Was that the Johnny Robinson that kept the tame monkey in the backyard until the cruelty stepped in and but stopped it?
No, that was Jimmy Robinson. Now, Johnny Robinson dyed his hair ginger, wore a hard hat when he was collecting insurance, Mama.
Whatever become of Jimmy Robinson?
Ach, he took to the drink. Never was the same after they took the old monkey away from him.
All the same, it's a funny sort of job for a woman, laying out the dead.
Oh, the women always did it.
The men was too afeard.
And yet, now it's all the men who do the only
thing. And the men who bring the children into the world as well.
The world's gone mad, so it has. Men doing women's work.
What exactly did you do, Mrs. Drum, I mean? What does she carry in that black bag?
Nobody knows for sure.
Secret of the trade.
It was always a big strapping woman done it. The one before Mrs. Drum was built like a Mullingar heifer.
Well, there had to be, hadn't there? Now, you know what it's like yourself, Marge, putting a nappy on a struggling infant. Now, imagine having to do the same for a big working man and him a dead weight. They put a plastic contraption on your private parts in the hospitals now. Before you're even gone. I had a wee geek under the sheets when my cousin Stanley was in a coma.
God, money wouldn't pay you, would it?
Oh, Mrs. Drum was always very understanding as far as the payment was concerned. Them as hadn't slipped her a few shillings and them as hadn't give her a sup of whiskey. And she always drunk it neat, like a man.
Now, listen, she was always very partial to a wee sherry or a drop of port.
Do you know what must be the worst thing about being a corpse?
What's that, Da?
Not being able to join in the drinking at your own wake.
Very good, Da.
I'm serious. Lying there, and everybody round you having a whale of a time. You see the night old Hughie McArdle died? They propped him up in the coffin with a bottle of stout in his hand. I swear to God he was smiling.
It's called rigor mortis, Da.
Of course, Hughie died smiling. He was over there, sitting at that bar, and he just keeled over. Went out like a light, so he did.
It's your turn to get them in, Da.
No, it's time we were on our way.
What are you talking about? It's only gone 10:30.
We have to go and pay our respects to Lizzie. I promised your mother.
You're always promising, my mother.
This is different. Have you any readies?
I've a bit of favour, why?
We'll have to have a whip round.
What are you talking about?
Well, the women are good at organising the food and the flowers, but they can't be relied on for the liquid refreshment. I suppose it comes with running the house all the time. Hey, Alec, Charlie, can I have a wee word?
I wonder who'll get Lizzie's house.
I heard that the rent man's selling them all off.
Well, I told our Kathleen's youngest to get in quick. You never know now, she might get it cheap. It needs a lot doing, do it.
That old rent man never sells anything cheap.
I'll just go and see about Florence wants a ham with a tea. Listen, Florence, as soon as we get home tonight, remind me to phone our Marion and to warn her that them Carsons is after Lizzie's house.
Our Marion wouldn't live in that old house. She's thundering in.
If her and Alec get in quick, they might get it for next to nothing. And then they could apply for one of them housing executive grants. I believe you can get up to 3,000. Gee, you couldn't beat it. It's like money from America.
Are you all right, Agnes?
I was just telling Lizzie they'll be hoarding them after her house first thing Monday morning.
Nay, Agnes, you don't want to be standing in here thinking long and upsetting yourself.
Ach, Lizzie, love, you and Willie McCulloch done the house up lovely, the two of yous. And then he went and got himself killed the week before the end of the war, and you 7 months ago. You didn't call Joe after him in case brought bad luck.
But he was the one brought you bad luck. No sign of him and not Sharon yet.
They'll probably not appear till the day of the funeral.
She'll be here. Look, Charlie Wilson has forgot to take Lizzie's wedding ring off, and Sharon won't be letting a bit of valuable old gold go up and smoke in the crematorium.
Lizzie always said she wanted buried with her wedding ring on.
But she's not been buried, is she? No, sir. I won't have that Sharon one wearing it. It's not right. Give me your hand, Lizzie, love. Here now. I'll take care of this for you. I promise.
Sharon will be asking for that.
She can ask, but she'll not get.
What if Joe wants it?
Over my dead body. I promise you this much, Lizzie. I'll see that your ashes are buried for Nance Dwelly, and I'll drop this in alongside you.
Joe! Will you move yourself and we'll be here all night? Stop mooning around looking at things. What's that you're clutching?
It's a photo of my father in his army uniform.
Let's see. God, she didn't marry him for his looks, did she?
She said he was very gentle spoken.
That's something we haven't come across. Your dad's medal. Maybe it's in the box with the coins. Have a look and see.
My ma said the whole road turned out for his funeral.
Your ma lived in the past. They all do round here. For God's sake, Joe, I warned you to be careful of that ruby glass.
I never touched it.
Oh, broke itself, did it?
Honest, it was nowhere near it. It just shattered.
Will you turn that thing off? Close the lid.
The lid is closed. Sharon, it won't stop.
Nearly 40 when she married Willie McCullough.
You'd wonder why she bored at that age.
I suppose she was lonely after Agnes got married. And anyway, it was board time. A lot of people got married then.
Maybe she didn't want a day wandering.
she's coming over. I was just saying, Mrs. Drum, your Lizzie had Joe late in life.
It was a terrible birth, nearly killed her.
I was 36 when our Dave was born. I know it nearly killed me.
They say it gets easier every time, but it does not.
It'll be some man said that. Your bones are bound to settle as you get older.
Would you like another bun, Miss Drum?
Thanks, Florence. Don't mind if I do.
Well, I better go and make some more sandwiches.
All the same, Madge, is a credit to you that way. And many's a young one wouldn't be bothered. They've no time for the old customs.
Excuse me, Agnes. There's our Dave.
Would you look at this lot? The last of a dying race.
Well, I've none of your smart remarks tonight. Thank you very much. Where the hell's your father?
He's coming.
So it's Christmas. By God, I'll give it to him and I get the hold of him.
I'll tell yous on his way. I was sent to hell to tell yous bringing a couple of mates. So make some extra sandwiches.
I'll extra sandwich you.
Great lads, here they are.
Good evening, gentlemen. Can I help you?
You couldn't, indeed, Your Honour. Take Harlan and his crate of Guinness. The bags broke carrying them up the road.
Johnny, and about 10 too.
This is a poor do, seeing Lizzie off for cups of tea. We come bringing good cheer, don't we, lads?
Oh, it's not even Christmas
and
yet.
You needn't look like that, Sarah. We haven't forgot the ladies. One bottle of malt whiskey, one bottle of port. That'll liven your tea up.
It's not normal practice. I mean, this isn't quite usual. In a funeral parlour.
Here, have a bottle of stout. It'll put a bit of colour in your cheeks, son. You do the honours, Dave. I'll just go and pay my respects to Lizzie.
I should be real angry with your father.
But you're not, though, are you?
No, I'm not. But don't you tell him that. Dear God, wouldn't Lizzie have enjoyed this? But she loved a good party. You not going in to see her?
I am not.
You're not afraid of an old dead woman, are you? A big lad like you. Well, sit yourself down, son, and I'll get you a sandwich.
I'm not staying long.
Would you like a cream bun?
Well, not very long. Hello, love. Would you like a wee hand with that tray?
If you like.
My pleasure, darling.
There, that'll do you more good than tea.
Man, I was glad to see you coming in that door, Jamie.
I was only ever at one dry wake in my life, and my memory has never left.
Do you remember the night of your granddad's funeral, Johnny?
Aye, the whiskey flowed like water.
Aye, and the banshee howled for a stricken hour.
Banshee, my arse. It was our old dog, Cora, howling to get out. We'd locked her in the backyard because she was in heat. My dad went out and gave her a barrel of stout, this or whiskey. That soon subdued the wanting, or I can tell you.
This is a very subdued sort of a do here the night.
Aye.
Lizzie always liked a bit of a sing-song at a wake.
I mind Lizzie standing up to her ankles and watering a spinning mill, singing her heart out.
Oh, you always know a doffer when she comes into town, with her long yellow hair and her ring that's hanging down, with her rubber tied before her and her picker in her hand. Oh, you always know a doffer, for she always gets her man, for she always gets her man, she always gets her man. You always know a doffer, for she always gets her man.
Oh, you always know a teacher when she comes into town, with a bust of stuff behind her and on her face a frown, and the childers stand around her and the cane's right in her hand.
Oh, you know what's going on here?
Mr. and Mrs. McCullough, good evening. Your mother had a lot of friends, Mr. McCullough. Oh, dear.
What is going on?
Sharon. Always know a doffer when she comes into town, with her long greasy hair and her knickers hanging down. And her knickers hanging down. You always know a doffer when she comes into town.
When she comes into town. You always know a doffer when she comes into town. For she never gets her mom. She never gets her mom. She always know a doffer. She always
gets her mom. Well, if it isn't the prodigal son. On behalf of my dear departed sister, Elizabeth McCullough, may I thank you for coming to pay your respects.
Aunt Agnes.
Don't you Aunt Agnes me.
Who are all these people?
These people are all Lizzie's friends and neighbours come to see she gets a proper send-off.
I did say at the time, but...
Joe,
no,
do something.
Like what, Sharon?
It's always the same. If I want anything doing, I have to do it myself. Right, Charlie Wilson, outside for a moment. I want a word with you in private.
Well, let me explain.
You too, Joe McCullough.
Airs and graces. I knew her da when he had the nurse in his trousers.
Right, Charlie Wilson, explain yourself.
I tried to stop it. I did, Mr. McCullough. But your mother's sister...
Half-sister. We are the next of kin. Not that interfere now, Biddy.
I don't think Aunt Agnes meant no harm, Sharon.
She always means harm, that, and she's evil. Evil, so she is.
Calm down, Sharon.
Calm down, calm down. After the evening I've had... Music boxes that won't stop playing, and you breaking the only valuable ornament in that alehouse of your mother's, and then coming here and you not man enough to stand up to that aunt of yours.
Could I get you a cup of tea, Mrs. McCullough?
No, you could not. What you are going to do is go in there and evict that mob.
Me?
You? My God, you're as spineless as he is.
It's not really my place to interfere with the family.
I won't let her get the better of me.
God bless all here. I beg your pardon, madam. I didn't mean to startle you.
Good evening, Sergeant Musgrave.
Good evening, Mr. Wilson. May I introduce Police Constable Patterson?
Good evening, Constable Patterson.
Good evening, sir.
Is there something wrong, Sergeant Musgrave?
You tell me, Mr. Wilson. We were just passing and this keen-eared lad thought he heard a bit of a commotion. Is everything all right in here?
I think so. I don't know that is...
No, everything is not all right, Sergeant. Tell him, Joe.
Yes.
Well, you see, Sergeant... Tell him what, Sharon?
There's a right crew in there. Turn your respectable bereavement into a party.
Is that a fact now, Mrs...
McCullough, I'm the deceased daughter-in-law.
Well, Mrs. McCullough, if you'll just wait here in the vestibule, I'll step inside and give Constable Patterson here a chance to show me what he learnt at the police training school. Well now, lad, what do you think? Is this a case for a quiet caution before we go on our way? Or do you think we should call for reinforcements and take the whole lot of them down to the station for questioning?
I don't know, Sergeant.
You don't think this is an unlawful assembly, then?
Not yourself, Jimmy Musgrave. You've known most of us all your life.
Oh, hello there, Sarah. How you doing?
Can't complain, Jimmy, can't complain.
What are you doing on the beat again?
Just showing this raw recruit around the area. Am I right in thinking the deceased old Lizzie McCulloch?
Yeah, her. God rest her.
What's she doing in here?
You gotta ask that pair right there.
Good evening, Mrs. Drum. I didn't see you there. I'm sorry for your trouble.
Much obliged, Jimmy. Would you like to view the remains?
I'd be honored, Mrs. Drum. You just stand guard here, Constable Patterson. Make sure nobody gets out of hand. All the same, Lizzie's looking quite well, isn't she, Mrs. Drum?
And why wouldn't you with all her friends gathered round her?
Grand flowers, them.
Our Lizzie always loved a rose.
Is there mustard in them ham sandwiches, Sarah?
There is indeed, Jimmy.
Would you like a wee drink to wash that down, Jimmy?
Not while I'm on duty, Johnny. But I'll have a cup of tea, if there's one going.
Say no more, Jimmy. No sooner said than done.
And I'm sure Constable Patterson could manage one if he was asked.
There you are, boys. Two cups of the best tea on the road.
Grand cup of tea, that, Johnny. It's a special brew, the drink in these parts, son. You'll get used to it, give and take.
Would you like a wee tap-up?
Some other time, Johnny. I think I'd better get the constable back onto the beat. He looks as if he could do with a bit of fresh air. Good night, Sarah.
Good night, Jimmy.
Good night, Mrs. Drum.
Good night, Sergeant.
And as I said, I'm real sorry for your trouble.
What about my trouble?
He said to wait in the hall, Sharon.
Mrs. McCullough, oh dear.
What are you going to do about this, Sergeant?
Sharon.
You be Lizzie's son and take it.
That's right.
Sorry for your trouble.
Thank you, Sergeant.
I'm speaking to you. What are you going to do about this?
Are you making a complaint, Mr. McCullough?
No.
Joe!
Are you making a complaint, Mr. Wilson?
What do you mean, no? Indeed, Sergeant, not. It's up to the family of the dear departed. I'm only here to provide a service, whatever the family want, within reason.
Well, then, as neither the next of kin nor the proprietor are making a complaint, my hands is tied. I'm afraid, Constable Patterson, you're going to have to qualify for your bravery medal on some other occasion. If I called back later, Sarah, would the teapot still be warm?
Oh, I'd say you could depend on it, Jimmy.
Right, then, we'll be on our way. God bless all here.
Good night, Jimmy.
Good night.
Joe, outside. I want to speak with you.
Before you go, we'll need the key.
What?
The key for our Lizzie's house. People are expecting to come back after the funeral for a sit-down tea.
I haven't got the key.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry. Sharon, she likes things neat and tidy. I only did what I thought was for the best.
Joe McCulloch! Don't you dare make apologies on my behalf to that...
I suppose you have the key, madam. Hand it over.
She hasn't got it. Look, she got the land of her brother's Vaughan this evening. That's what kept us, why we weren't here earlier. We cleared the house. We'll give the keys into the rent man on our way here. Well, I mean, there's no point paying out another week's rent.
Get out of my sight.
You talk to my Joe Lacat.
He's my nephew. I'll talk to him any way I want.
You're a vindictive old bitch. You always were.
Sharon.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words cannot hurt me. For when I'm dead and in my grave, you'll suffer for what you called me.
Get away from me, you... Get away.
You tried to get rid of my sister like an old dog, so you did. May she come back and haunt you for the rest of your days.
Joe, get me out of here.
When she comes into town with her long yellow hair and her ring that's hanging down, with a rubber tied before her and her picker in her hat. Oh, you always know a daffer, for she always gets her man.
She always gets her man. She always gets her man. You always know a daffer, for she always gets her man.
Oh, ye
always know what teacher when she comes into town. With the bustle stuck behind her and on her face a frown. And the tilders stand around her and the cane right in her helm. Oh, you always know what teacher, for she never gets a man.
Oh, she never gets a man. She never gets a man. You always know what teacher, for she never gets a man.
Oh, yeah.
Always know a doffer when she comes into town.
With her long greasy hair and her knickers hanging down.
Her knickers hanging down. And her knickers hanging down. We always know a doffer when she comes into town. When she comes into town. When she comes into town. You always know a doffer when she comes into town.
Always gets her man. She always gets her man. She always know a doffer. She always gets her man.
Hey, Ma, me and Florence are just going to open up Madge's van for loading the stuff.
Aye, well, don't the two of you be loitering long. I want you to organize the lifts to the coffin before your Danny's cronies leave. You'll need 6 foot men in rotation.
What lifts? Sure, she's being cremated. My dad can tuck the urn under his arm.
Dad, you're awful.
They'll be carried proper from here to the hearse and from the hearse to the crematorium. Sorry about that, Agnes.
Hey, no, he's sorry. He's young.
He's drunk, but that's no excuse for a reverend.
I'll just go and see how Lizzie's doing.
You do that, Agnes. I'll have a word with Mr. Wilson about the vigil.
I don't quite follow the vigil.
I'll be staying with Agnes tonight. The rest of the women will work out our order for keeping her and Lizzie company till Monday morning.
Here? All night? Staying?
Aye, staying. You don't leave your dead alone unprotected. They have to be watched over till the burial.
That was a grand evening, Mr. Wilson. You done her proud. Right, lads, time to go home. Bring the dead men out to Madge's van. We'll take them back to the pub tomorrow. That new barman's as mean as sin, Mr. Wilson. Charges on the battles to make sure we're brought back the empties.
Yes, quite.
Good, Sarah. That's all the dishes washed up. Can I do anything else before I go?
No, thanks, Madge. You've been a tourist drunk.
You have that. God bless you, love.
There's enough left in the kitchen to see you through the night. And I'll be here first thing in the morning to relieve you, sir.
Thanks, Madge. Where's Florence?
She's sitting in the van. Your Dave's keeping her company. He offered to come home with us and unload the stuff.
Excuse me, but will everybody be coming back tomorrow?
Oh, no, not in the Sabbath. It wouldn't be proper. Just the women who be keeping watch.
Is there anything else before I retire?
No, thanks, Mr. Wilson. Everything's under control.
We'll see you in the morning, God willing. Good night, son.
Good night, ladies.
You shot us dead in bed, Sean.
What? And give her the pleasure saying I was too scared to turn up the funeral? Oh, no. We take our proper place as the first car behind the hearse.
Yeah, well, we'll have to offer Aunt Agnes a seat in our car.
And offer her the chance of turning us down? You do no such thing, Joe McCulloch. We keep ourselves to ourselves. I want nothing to do with that rabble.
It's her proper place, Sharon.
Her proper place isn't a broomstick.
I should have been at the funeral parlour for the closing of the coffin.
I told you, Joe, we are not getting out of this car until we get to the crematorium. And after that, we're going straight home.
I feel...
What?
I feel... I haven't said goodbye to my mother properly.
What are you talking about? She's dead. Why does everybody keep going on as if she's still around and knows what we're doing?
Awful final, isn't it, once to screw the lid down?
I'll just leave you two alone for a few minutes. Then I'll send the men in to lift her.
I suppose in time it'll be all crematoriums and funeral parlours. Strangers disposing of your dead.
At least you have children, sir, to look after you when your time comes.
Ach, I've only sons, Agnes. Like, men don't understand the importance of these things. And a daughter-in-law is no substitute for a daughter.
Now, are you sure the wreath is right, Dave?
Yes.
Family flowers on top of the coffin?
Yes.
Friends and neighbours on the roof rack?
Yes, Doc.
Right. You can close the hearse down now.
Hello, Mr. McGuire.
Morning, Florence.
What's it saying to my mummy? Your Dave looks quite nice in his suit.
You're not looking too bad yourself, Florence. You'd brighten any funeral.
In my day, the women never went to the cemetery. They stayed at home and got the sit-down tea ready for the men coming back.
Did they never see the grave then?
Oh, yes, they went to the graveside the following day and set out the wreaths nice.
There isn't going to be a graveside, Doc.
Next thing you know, you'll be wanting to take your turn with the men for lifting the coffin.
Well, you can take my turn any time. My shoulder's wrecked.
Catch yourself on. A wee short lift like that. In the old days, we used to carry them for miles.
From the funeral parlour to the hearse was far enough for me.
Ah, there's a knack for lifting a coffin. You'll learn it as you get older.
I'm not planning to make a career of it, though.
We'd better get into the cars. Mr. Wilson's revving up the hearse. I'll see you later, Dave, at Mrs. Drum's house.
I'll keep you a seat beside me at the sit-down tea.
No, you'll not. The men eat first and then the women.
Why?
Because that's the way it's done. That's why.
Did you see the look that Agnes one gave us when we took our rightful place as the first car behind the hearse?
She looked awful old.
She is old?
But she looked pale, thin. Hope she's all right.
She's with her cronies. They'll see her right.
Yeah, they're all but talking. Saying she should have been in the family car.
Let them talk. When did she ever treat me like one of the family? 15 years we've been married, and she has never had a good word for me.
I was only saying...
Well, don't! And stop looking back at them. I'm not having your Aunt Agnes or that Sarah McGuire one, knowing we're even taking them under our notice. Them McGuire's always had ideas about their station.
See though, Carl Jones? Our Lizzie lent them the money for the deposit. They never paid it back.
They'll never have any luck in it, Agnes.
It's a bad day, Mrs. Drum. You not being in the front car.
I prefer the carmen, thanks, Johnny.
You should have been asked.
I'd have said no. Wouldn't demean myself.
Dave?
What?
Well, you concentrate on the driving and stop Aunt Florence in the mirror. You'll run into the back of Joe's car.
If it wasn't for the damage you do to your own car, I'd say go right ahead, son.
You're a terrible woman, Mrs. Drum.
They're all laughing.
What?
Them McGuires. Don't look around. How many times do I have to tell you? Use the mirror if you want to see them. God, I'll be glad when this day is over. What are you doing? What are you stopping for?
The hearse has stopped, Sharon.
We're nowhere near the crematorium. What's going on?
Well, I don't know. Charlie Wilson's getting out, so he is.
Well, you'd better get out too and find out what's happening.
Are we there already, Dave? I thought the crematorium was far out.
The hearse has stopped.
And Charlie Wilson's got out. And so has Joe.
Wind the windy down, Johnny.
They're looking under the bonnet of the hearse. And your woman Sharon's getting out and bearing down on them like the wrath of God. You want to see the face on her? It would melt snow.
Away up, Johnny, and see what's going on.
We'll all go.
You think that's wise, Agnes?
Lizzie's my sister. I've a right to know why she's come to a standstill.
Joe, what are you doing? You get oil in your good suit.
Mr. Wilson asked me to have a look at the engine.
For what?
I'm sorry, Mrs. McCulloch. I don't understand it. The hearse just stopped, and it won't start again.
Petrol!
Pardon?
Did you check the petrol?
The tank's full. I always fill her up the morning of the funeral.
Have you a problem, Mr. Wilson?
The engine died on me. I can't see any reason why.
You have a look, Johnny.
No problem.
He's awful good with engines, Mr. Wilson.
Is he a mechanic?
Johnny Maguire was repairing old beat-up cars when you were still selling sticks after school.
I wasn't talking to you.
It's not old. I only bought it last year. It's still under guarantee.
There's nothing wrong with your vehicle, Mr. Wilson. It's just our Lizzie showing that pair they're not getting rid of her as easy as they think.
Don't talk nonsense.
I warned you she'd come back and haunt you, Sharon.
Charlie Wilson, we haven't got all day. Joe's got to be back at his work this afternoon. This funeral's already cost him a morning's wages. Get away from me.
What's the matter, Sharon?
I thought... nothing. Charlie Wilson, way you over to that garage across the road and get a proper qualified mechanic. And don't be putting the cost in our bill. If your hearse isn't roadworthy, it's up to you to pay.
What is it?
It's her. It's her. Lizzie. Cross the road. Look. Look. Getting into that bus. Look.
I've got her gone, Mr. Wilson.
Ah, that's good. You show her.
Sharon. Sharon. Calm yourself.
What the devil's going on?
Not the devil. Just our Lizzie.
Sharon, you're making an agent and there's another car. Come on now. Come on, Sharon. Sharon, come on.
See that Sharon one? She's just like her mother before her. That family always was high strung.
I'm away, Mummy. I'll see you later.
Marge tells me that you and Florence are going to the pictures tonight again. And I hear tell yous were at a disco last night.
You couldn't fart in this road where everybody knows about it.
I hope you don't use that sort of language in front of Florence. She's a nice, well-brought-up wee girl. Are you serious, the two of you?
Mummy, it's only a week since I met her.
Ah, there's many a good match was made at a week. I noticed you weren't so anxious to leave once you clapped eyes on her.
What are you wanting to marry me off for? Haven't you got two daughter-in-laws already?
Aye, but I could take the Florence better than that other pair. She'd never be like Sharon. Lizzie soon put the fear of God into her, though. Agnes buried Lizzie's ashes along with the wedding ring, and there wasn't a word about it.
You don't think it really was Lizzie the day of the funeral, do you?
Agnes warned them she'd come back and haunt them.
Did you actually see her?
I saw an old woman and that's all any of them saw. But I'll tell you something. As time passes, it'll become part of the folklore of this road that on the day of her funeral, Lizzie McCulloch appeared and made the hearse break down. The laugh of it is that I don't think it would have occurred to anybody if Sharon hadn't put the idea into their heads in the first place.
I'm away on. We're going for a drink before we go to the pictures. Did you get my blue jacket out of the cleaners?
It's hanging in the hall.
Right, I've got it.
By God, you and your doll miss me when I go. At least I think you will. Sometimes I wonder, though.
You know, you're getting awful vain in your old age, Ma.
What?
If you're ever looking at yourself in the mirror these days.
I'm not.
You are, you're doing it now.
I just was fixing my hair.
I'll see you later.
Aye. Have a good time. Dave! God, you're getting old, sir, McGuire.